As infinite in variety as cooking itself, cookbooks touch on every aspect of the culinary arts. Cookbooks are simultaneously reference works, do-it-yourself manuals, and cultural Bibles. More than merely recipe collections, the most successful are literary and artful. Cookbooks are deeply personal possessions. Arranged carefully or haphazardly on a kitchen shelf, these volumes capture family history and tradition almost as well as photo albums. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally, your host for Beyond the Book. On Thursday, February 7th, the second annual Roger Smith Cookbook Conference opens a three-day service of workshops and panel discussions, not to mention luncheons, receptions, and dinners. The setting is the boutique Roger Smith Hotel in Midtown Manhattan, and in attendance will be an eclectic gathering of those who publish, write, edit, represent, research, or simply buy and use cookbooks. Here to whet our appetite for the conference is one of the principal organizers, Adam Salamone. Adam, welcome to Beyond the Book.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's great to be here.
Well, we're happy that you have a chance to join us, and we should tell people that you are the associate publisher of the Harvard Common Press, a Boston-based independent publisher and a national leader in high-quality cookbooks and parenting books. Adam oversees the company's digital strategy across individual book and author brands. He's also involved in a number of outreach efforts related to cookbook publishing, including active involvement in numerous events, and particularly the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. And Adam, you know, there is just so much to talk about, and the conference schedule just gives everybody an idea of how wide-ranging cookbook publishing really is. I wonder if you're surprised by the directions that this kind of a conference can go. Was there one particular session that you just found completely unexpected?
You know, it's funny because I think in many ways being a co-organizer on a conference like this, you can never truly dictate in what way it will go. And I think at one point it can be somewhat challenging to bridge those multiple perspectives and have them output into what is a robust program. But at the same time, it's an incredible opportunity to take advantage of those perspectives. And as you see in the program, really have them manifest as an eclectic grouping of different panels. What's really unique about this conference, aside from the fact that it is the first conference to really delve deeply into the cookbook and recipe content vertical, is that as much as we are at this amazing inflection point in publishing and cookbook publishing specifically, we also have to take a moment to not only look forward, but look back and see where we've been. The best way to decide where you want to go and where you need to go is to learn from the past and see what trends and different perspectives have influenced the past and present and will influence the future. And in that way, I'm really excited about the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference because it does take into account all those various pieces and threads of the conversation around cookbook publishing and recipe content.
Well, indeed. I mean, as far as I'm aware, cookbooks go back at least to just about the very beginning of the first millennium, first century in the Roman era. And then, of course, there have been cookbooks and collections of recipes or accounts of food and eating throughout the century since across a variety of cultures. And I understand that you'll be featuring in one of the discussions someone who's been taking a kind of a survey of cookbook manuscripts in the United States. Tell us about that.
Yes, definitely. Well, you know, we're really looking out at some of the data around publishing and around kind of cookbooks and recipe content specifically, and trying to find out how people use cookbooks and how cookbooks kind of come together and take a place on consumer shelves. And so there's a lot going on around what is consumer sentiment. I think as publishers in general, not even in the cookbook space, we've been notoriously disconnected from our audience, unfortunately, whether that's because retailers service our accounts or because sales reps really sell our books into those accounts. And I think that with this conference and with that session you point out specifically, we're really looking to find out how consumers really start to use cookbooks in all of their forms, whether print or digital or app or website or whatever it would happen to be. And I think it's going to be really telling to get some of that data and start to digest some of that data, whether you're an author or a publisher or a marketer or whatever the case may be.
Right. Well, you're in the business of cookbook publishing, and a serious business it would have to be, given, as you point out, the changes in publishing going on today. What are some of the ways that cookbook publishers are tackling the whole challenge of maintaining and creating new business models?
It's a very good question, and I think one that is ever evolving. In many senses, I feel that as we think about the future, one of the things that really comes to mind is this idea of authorship in the cookbook space and in the publishing space in general. The idea that it should take anywhere from 18 to 24 months to bring a book to market is really somewhat inflexible and rigid in a publishing environment, in a content environment that now is based on kind of 24-hour cycles. You know, what's trending today may not necessarily be what's trending in a week from now. And from that point of view, you know, publishers, I think, are really starting to get much more savvy about where they source content from, who their authors are, and how that output actually allows them to stay relevant in a conversation that's changing practically overnight. We actually have a panel at the conference, Trend Spotting in the Food Space, that's really meant to capture this part of the conversation, not only what the trends are and how you identify the trends, but how we as publishers and we as authors can stay ahead of those trends and really go toe-to-toe with online and digital media with print products that are relevant but aren't taking, you know, one or two years to really bring to market in that sense.
Right. There's a sense of urgency now that there wasn't before, because you're competing with, if I can put it this way, the amateur world. And in the food world, there's a tremendous community of amateurs, in the best sense of the term, who really love to write about and take pictures of their food and so forth. So there's a relationship going on that didn't exist before, as you mentioned, between publishers and readers, but particularly in the online space with bloggers. Talk about that some.
Certainly. And I love the conversation around bloggers, because I think it's at once very passionate, and also it can be very creatively oriented. In many senses, to look at the blogging world, I think there's a lot of questions around how you suss out and evaluate bloggers as both potential authors and marketing partners. But one of the things that the blogging evolution and revolution, if I can call it that, has done for publishers is it's forced us again to think very, very broadly and very comprehensively about how our business models are changing. I would say, if I can speak so boldly, you know, for the first time in a very long time, there is a media source that in many ways is starting to make publishers sit up and see that a change is coming that they really need to be a part of. And bloggers, for all of the discomfort around the fact that they are changing so many different kinds of business models, whether you're a food journalist, an author, or a publisher, that change is something that really needs to happen, because if it doesn't happen soon, unfortunately, the publishing world, I don't feel, can really stand on the ceremony of the past few decades to say, like, this is our business model and here's what it is. It really needs to be rethought in a very thoughtful and collaborative way, I would say.
Well, indeed. And, you know, we are talking with Adam Salamone, who is an associate publisher of the Harvard Common Press, a Boston-based publisher of cookbooks and parenting books. And also, he is one of the principal organizers of the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference coming to New York City beginning Thursday, February 7th. And you mentioned about the ways that the publishing world has been challenged by all these new technologies and new media. And certainly social media is a way that sort of is an avenue that cuts both ways. I know that you and your colleague, Bruce Shaw, are very active on Facebook, for example, which is where I learned about this conference. But I would think as well that the social media environment can be one that seems less under one's control or influence than, say, the traditional media was once.
Certainly. And it's very true. I mean, in our business, you know, the way that we refer to the, let's call them the traditional models, or that you had gatekeepers who really were the mediator between the content and information you wanted to put out and your audience. And whether these were editors or the food journalists that I was just talking about, I mean, they really played a key role in that. And now those walls are taken down. I think social media it's both an opportunity and a challenge, because there is this direct access and this 24-hour access in many ways that just was not available or apparent to publishers and authors before. If you were to look at the social media space as a spectrum, I think on the high end of the spectrum, you can have the opportunity for positive engagement. But as you move farther and farther down to the lower end, I think the dangers of social media are really no engagement or negative engagement. And we've seen time and again examples of, for lack of a better word, social media mess-ups that have blown up in the faces of authors or publishers or chefs who didn't really understand the gravity of the medium. It's no longer the brand talking down to their audience. It's that the brand has been brought down to the level that the audience has already been on and is now a participant in that conversation rather than a leader in the conversation. And that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. And, you know, we should make people aware that they can follow the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference on Twitter. If they can't join you in person, they can do so by just following the hashtag CookbookConf, and that would be cookbook, C-O-N-F. So I'll be checking on the discussion throughout the 3 days next week. And I wonder if we can talk a bit about the technology that is changing cookbook publishing itself. You mentioned briefly apps, as well as there's a session on enhanced content and the use of video. It's not good enough anymore to just print a really attractive book. One has to think about the digital world. Tell us about that.
Certainly. And as you pointed out, there are so many outputs at this point that are available to publishers and authors. And I guess to preface this entire piece of the discussion, the most difficult part, I think, is not necessarily envisioning and thinking about the ways in which those outputs can manifest themselves, but more so about who pays for it and how it gets financed and then how we recoup those investments. But, you know, briefly, I think one of the areas that we as publishers gravitate towards most specifically is enhanced content in ebooks, so fixed format ebooks that basically preserve in high fidelity the printed page in digital form. And with that, you also get things like the ability to share things out to social media. You get the ability to insert video or audio content that really allows for some greater interactivity. I even saw actually an example of one ebook where you could leave a comment on a recipe and it would feed out to the brand's Facebook page. And so these comments were actually drawing people back in through the Facebook page to engage with the book. And that was, you know, really great. I am of the mind that I don't think the publishing world has quite found yet the panacea for this issue of user engagement, and I don't think there is one. But in many senses, we as publishers have tried to get out in front of this problem of what our users want with things like enhanced content and apps. And I'm not quite sure that consumers know what they want or if any of those opportunities really fulfill their need. But you do, of course, have apps that work in the kitchen for the iPad and the iPhone. The problem now, though, is that we're in this place where rather than being book publishers, we're more and more becoming content producers and having to compete with the Epicuriuses of the world and the All Recipes and really those online digital media companies that were born out of the internet and have a much greater foothold in this world. So, you know, there's a lot of question about how that happens and what partnerships can take shape so that we can make sure our content remains relevant in whatever form it's delivered.
Well, one of the aspects of content, of course, we care a lot about at Copyright Clearance Center is the whole notion of copyright and intellectual property and definitions of personal expression. So I know you've got a couple of sessions that look into that.
Yes.
And I imagine that there's a great deal of confusion among cookbook authors, as well as even perhaps some publishers, as to what exactly they can copyright, what they can own, and what is actually in the public domain.
Sure, certainly. And Chris, you may be able to speak better to this than I can, but my understanding after talking with many in the cookbook publishing world, including some intellectual property lawyers, is that, you know, the inherent issue with recipes is that a set of ingredients and a set of direction steps cannot really be copyrighted in the sense that, you know, I could easily take someone else's recipe that they created, change the wording and change any kind of creative aspects of it, whether that's a headnote or a recipe title, and would have considerable grounds on which to say that I had modified that recipe to the extent that it was not something that could be copyrighted. And that's a real issue when you start to think about the infringement of free content online on price points for cookbooks or individual pieces of content. It's a real issue when you start to think about many of these sites out there that are scraping content from either bloggers or authors and then putting it up on various websites. We do have, as you mentioned, one panel in particular that is a really practical run-through of some of the pitfalls of copyright infringement online and what bloggers and authors who are out there can do about it. What recourse is there? And sometimes the answer is not really that much, unfortunately. But this is a question, I think, even more so than piracy in ebook publishing. The question of copyright infringement with cookbook recipes is going to be probably an even bigger issue in, you know, as we continue to move through the next few years.
Well, we'll be following it with you, and we hope one day to be able to, you know, get a chance to attend the Roger Smith Cookbook Conference. We've been chatting with Adam Salamone, who is associate publisher of the Harvard Karman Press and a co-organizer of next week's Roger Smith Cookbook Conference, beginning in New York at the Midtown Roger Smith Hotel on Thursday, February 7th. And Adam, thank you so much for joining us today on Beyond the Book.
Chris, thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at Copyright Clearance Center's website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.